2 down, 1 to go. I'm flying solo today. We thank you so much for being here with us. I'm Damian Barling. J. Ross out today. He'll return on Monday. Sacramento Kings get a win last night against the Philadelphia 76ers. Really fun game to watch, fun game to be a part of, whatever it may be. But there was a lot of positives to take away from last night's win. De'Aaron Fox shooting the way that he was shooting that night. Garrett Temple shooting the way that he was shooting last night and still having the confidence, both of them. You know, Garrett Temple being the veteran, knowing this is the shot that matters. I can take this. I can hit this, give my team a chance to win. Willie Cauley-Stein with the block on the other side of the court. And then, of course, De'Aaron Fox comes down and puts the King put the Kings ahead. And he was 3 of 12 before he took that shot. This kid's a rookie. Dude's a rookie. 3 of 12. Like, nah, I got this. I'm gonna go ahead and hit this last shot. I'm going to send us home with a win. A lot of season highs for the Kings last night. Season high in assist. There's 29. Season low in turnovers, just 9. Season high in threes made. They hit 12 last night. We talked to James Hamm earlier. If you missed that, you could subscribe to the Lowdown Podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. We'll run some of that back for you here in just a little bit also. But De'Aaron Fox, youngest player in the last 5 seasons to make a game-winning shot in the final 30 seconds of the fourth quarter or overtime. Bradley Beal was the last player to do it who was younger than Fox. Or was actually, Bradley Beal was about 4 months younger than De'Aaron Fox. So pretty elite company for the Sacramento Kings rookie. As I said, a really good win for them. Text line's been excited. Phone line's been excited. Twitter's been excited. Mid-range city was jumping last night. That was fantastic. We can't thank you guys enough. That was really just a silly note on our part, what to call the Sacramento Kings. Jason had come up with that stat that the Kings are like last in three-point percentage, last in everything. But number one, when it comes to that mid-range shot, so we've dubbed this team Mid-Range City, and that thing caught fire last night on Twitter, so we're greatly appreciative of that. Spent a lot of the second hour talking about the NFL, some of the pitfalls of the NFL. We were talking about drug suspensions. One of the big names, I think we mentioned Doug Martin was suspended for the final 3 games of last year, the first game this year. And, you know, PED suspensions, other way around, 1 last year, 3 this year. Thank you. We just don't pay those suspensions very much attention. And with all of that said, we're still going to look ahead to Week 10 because there's some marquee games. We got our Friday 5, and it doesn't have to do with just the NFL. It has to do with a lot of other things. But when you got Ken on hold, man, you got to bring Ken into the fold, man. Ken, we appreciate you. Good to hear from you. It's been a while. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, man? I was listening to your conversation as usual. And I just want to talk about 2 things. The Thursday night football thing. Now, if I'm not mistaken, because I've always been for the players, I understand what they go through. But if I'm not mistaken, only one team, you don't play no more than 2 Thursday nights a season. In fact, I think you probably only play 1. So the question that I would have is, I've watched Thursday Thanksgiving games from the time that I was 6 years old. I never heard players complain about Thursday night games until now. And I'm just wondering what's the difference if the only time you play them is once a year. Is it okay if you play them on Thanksgiving because it's a holiday? Or, you know, is it just something to complain about? And that brings me to my second point, which is I've always thought that the NFLPA was the weakest pro union of all of them.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, when I think about the strikes they had back in the 80s, the biggest stars in the NFL always crossed the picket line. They could never keep those guys out. If you look back in baseball, the biggest stars never cross the line. Mm-hmm. Same with basketball. And it's not coincidental that those sports are thriving now with their players getting what they deserve. I remember back in the 80s when the older players that had played in the 50s and the 60s were coming to these guys and talking about, hey, look, we want some of this stuff for pension and, you know, take care of us because we made the game. Those guys at the time basically said, hey, guys, take a walk. You know, if you didn't take care of yourself then, we don't have nothing for you now. And they were very opposed to giving those older guys anything. I think that beget karma because what happened was those older guys sued the league, you know, for back injuries and stuff like that. And that's when a lot of the injuries that you put up with came into the foreplay because older guys was trying to get paid. Coincidentally, they come up with the fact that Mike Webster had basically ruined his brain playing football. And so now they're looking at the effects of, you know, the concussion thing. That probably would have came along eventually anyway. But had they paid the players, those older players, a comparable pension, they wouldn't find themselves where they are. I think karma has a way of working itself around. So when I hear these guys talking about Thursday night football, that's all an offshoot of the fact that your union is so weak. For you, it was all about money. The owner's seen that, and now Thursday nights is about nothing but money, and it's kind of like a direct offshoot of your inability to see the long picture. So just my two cents. Thanks a lot, man, for letting me get the rant off my chest.
We always appreciate you, Ken, man. Thank you so much, and I 100% agree with you that the NFLPA is the weakest PA in all of sports. When you look around at the other leagues, you know, Major League Baseball has avoided strikes recently. I don't really have the intimate knowledge of that one, but the NBA PA is an entirely different story, man. When you look at what David Stern was able to do, I think David Stern might be, you know, the best commissioner of our lifetime. The way he expanded the NBA, and I think Adam Silver's doing just, you know, he's doing a fine job, absolutely, but he has some big shoes to fill in what David Stern did, and he took the NBA to an entirely different level. Now, he had the stars there to do it, no question about it, with Magic and Larry and Michael coming along and Charles and Patrick Ewing and all those guys, but really on the back of Michael Jordan, but he knew how to capitalize on that. When you look at what ESPN has done to its business model, ESPN has damn near destroyed itself trying to get the rights to air NBA and NFL games. That's why ESPN, you know, Chris and I were looking at these numbers yesterday. By the time this year is over, over the last, I think it was 2 years, ESPN would have fired, I think, like 7.5% of its workforce. And people like to make up reasons as to why that is happening. It's simple. They gave a fortune to the National Basketball Association. They gave a fortune to the NFL to air Monday Night Football. What would save ESPN is getting rid of the NFL, but they can't because all of their programming is based around the NFL. They're hanging themselves to air these programs. They're hanging themselves to have these rights fees. Now, the commissioner for the NFL has done a good job of negotiating that. Commissioner of the NBA has done a fantastic job of making sure his players get a split of that money that comes in. Why do you think the salary cap kept going up? We're talking about that for, what, 3 straight summers? All these ridiculous, Timofey Mozgov, he's getting this ridiculous contract. Well, yeah, the money's got to go somewhere. Because now the players have it, because these dollar figures went up. Now that's going to change. It's going to change a lot this summer. There's going to be a big wake-up call for some of these NBA teams this summer because that money's already in. The TV money's already in. That big influx was this summer. So now what? We'll see. Let's get into our Friday Five. It's a good weekend, too. It's a really good weekend. Let's start with college because we really haven't had the opportunity to talk much college. We've been off talking about the NFL and the NBA so much today. The road to the college football playoff goes through Auburn. It is simple as that. And I got an understated thought. I haven't heard too many people talk about this. Hell, we didn't talk about it. We've presented scenario after scenario. What if Georgia and Alabama go undefeated through the college through the rest of the season and they just meet in the SEC championship? Does the loser get into the top four if that's their one loss? Well, Auburn's sitting at number 10 right now. Auburn plays Georgia, who's number one. Auburn plays Bama in the Iron Bowl, who's number two. What if Auburn beats them both? Right now, they're number 10. Now, there's some ranked games where some of those teams in the middle, whether it's Miami, Notre Dame, they play each other this week. Clemson let's say Miami wins but loses to Clemson. One of them is going to jump out because of the ACC championship. So what if Auburn beats Georgia this week? What if Auburn beats Bama in the Iron Bowl? You got, they're 10 now. You got to put Auburn in, right? They're a 2-loss team, though. I feel Georgia's due for a loss. I don't know why. I have not given Georgia any credit this year. None. And the last time I did that was with Florida State. I didn't give Florida State any credit, and they went on to win the national championship. But I haven't given Georgia and Mark Rigdon what they're doing any credit. But I'm starting to think if Auburn can get Georgia and Auburn can get Bama, why wouldn't you put this 2-loss team in the playoff? They got to win the SEC championship, obviously. But they need to be in that conversation. Another game, and this has gotten a lot of run here today because I didn't realize it's the first time it's happened since 1989. Number 3 Notre Dame versus number 7 Miami. They made a 30 for 30 about this. Catholics versus convicts. Did you guys read the did you read the article that the guy who made the shirts forgot to trademark he just didn't trademark Catholic versus convicts. So some other guy at the school who was a finance major, he trademarked Catholics versus convicts and he wound up making a couple hundred thousand dollars off of it. Got to trademark things, kids. Hey, Chris, now that I think about it, I need you to trademark hashtag Midrange City. There was already a rumor here on the text line that the Sacramento Kings Twitter account tried to take credit for that. We need to make sure that doesn't happen.
I'm on it.
All right, get that trademark there. But it's the first time since 1989 that bowl teams have been ranked in the top 10 at the time of their meeting. They've only played 4 times since then. Notre Dame's won 7 in a row. They're playing really well. They had that 1-point loss, that 1-point home loss to Georgia, and all of their wins, including their opener against Temple, have come by double digits. So their closest call, for lack of a better term, their closest call was an 11-point win against Wake Forest. Notre Dame is playing really well. Miami hasn't lost yet. Remember, Notre Dame's got that one loss, but it's to number 1 Georgia. Miami hasn't lost yet. I've seen Miami. I wish I could give you something on Miami. I have, from a start to finish, I've watched them once. And I don't know what they are. But the history of this rivalry has me intrigued. This is a great college football weekend. I can't stress that enough. There's a lot of ranked games. And we got Michigan State and Ohio State. We got Washington at Stanford tonight. You can catch that game here. On Sports 1140, we'll air that one for you. So it's a really good college football weekend where everything, you know, we're kind of at that point in the year with the college football rankings out now. And, you know, now we've gotten 2 sets of college football rankings. We're kind of getting an idea of what the committee wants to see. All of these games are meaningful. Texas A&M and West Virginia, there's another ranked game that's going on tonight. College basketball kicks off tonight. Man, there's so much going on. There is so much going on, man. It's going to be a fun weekend. So I'm going to take a left turn here, and I want you to hear me out. Don't change the station because I'm serious with this. It's part of the Friday Five. Something to watch. The New York Giants and the San Francisco 49ers. But here's why. Hear me out. You know, the Giants came out this week and said, let me rephrase that. Sources say that the Giants aren't going to fire Ben McAdoo during the season, which pretty much makes it clear that Ben McAdoo is going to be fired after the season. Actually, I got to read this quote to you while we're talking about the Giants and Ben McAdoo. Here's what he said talking about Eli Manning. I think sometimes I take for granted the type of guy that he is and the way he prepares. I say things in press conferences where you have to hold all players accountable. He's accomplished so many things in the league at a high level, but he still needs to be held accountable. The past is something that we all learn from and we all hold dearly in some instances. In some instances, we don't. I respect everything he's done and accomplished in this league, but right now, we need to win. We need to play better. And I don't like to grade players in the media or in public, but everyone needs to be held accountable. And he's going to be held accountable just like everyone else in the building. That's under my watch. Dude's talking about a quarterback that's won 2 Super Bowls. That's the second time he's thrown him under the bus this year. Ben McAdoo is gone. According to ESPN stats and information, this is the 3rd time in the Super Bowl era that the 2 teams entering a game that's taking place in Week 10 have combined for just 1 win. By the way, the 49ers, they lost 3 more plays. You know the 49ers have 18 players on injured reserve? But here's where I'm going with this and the reason why you need to pay attention to it. Sources close to the Giants say they won't fire Ben McAdoo in the middle of the season. Let the 49ers kick their ass this weekend. Ben McAdoo is going to get a tarmac firing. Old Mr. Marr is going to pull him aside and say, hey, man, oh, come here, man. He's going to hand him a Delta ticket. Sorry, player. This isn't going to cut it. You just lost to an 0-9 team. I realize that I might be coming in a little hot with that one. The 49ers beat the Giants this weekend. Ben McAdoo was fired on Monday. Ben McAdoo's fired. By the time Sunday night football starts, Mike Florio is going to come on Football Night in America and say, yep, the New York Giants have fired head coach Ben McAdoo. I don't know who the hell the coach is going to be. But they lose that game this weekend, they're gone. Another football game, entirely different reason to watch. And I don't know that you're going to catch this one on the Red Zone channel, by the way. Two surprisingly good teams, I think, and that's the New Orleans Saints and the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Bills have one of the best running teams in the league, despite their inconsistency over the last, like, 3 weeks or so. They've kind of been up, been down, been up and down. But overall, LeSean McCoy has been very good. That team has been very, very good on the ground. We saw what Alvin Kamara did last week. He went for 152 scrimmage yards. 84 of those were on the ground for the Saints. Chris checked the weather before the show started. 42 degrees at kickoff in Buffalo. This could be a slugfest. The forgotten facts is what New Orleans Saints are doing. Fantastic defense. The Bills are in the kind of top 10 of all major defensive categories, and the Saints are in the top 12. Now, I know that's just barely the upper half of the NFL, but we're talking about the Saints. The Saints have been consistently 31st, 30th, 29th, 31st in all major defensive categories. They're still they've been trying to recover from Rob Ryan schemes there for years. They finally have. I don't know that game's going to make the Red Zone channel, but if you got League Pass, it might be one worth checking out. Another game or person to watch. Actually, I'm going to go person and then I'll go to the game. The person is Dak Prescott. And the reasons are obvious. Ezekiel Elliott is gone. Ezekiel Elliott has accounted for 51% of the team's offensive touches this season. That's second only to Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell accounts for 56% of the Steelers' touches. I mean, there are games that Le'Veon Bell has had like 33 carries per game. Ezekiel Elliott has done half of the workload for the Cowboys' offense. And look at these stats for Rain Dakota Prescott. Cowboys are 5-3. Five wins. Dak attempts 27.4 passes a game. Five wins, 27.4 passes a game. In the three losses, Dak has thrown 40 times per game. They've only been blown out once. And that was week two against Denver. So they're not always playing from behind. Now, he threw like 50-some-odd times in that game. That was by far the most. But again, they were down the entire game. 40-27.4 losses versus wins right there. In the three losses, he's thrown four interceptions. In the five wins, Dak Prescott has not turned the ball over one single time. Zeke is out. Alfred Morris is there. Darren McFadden. And don't sleep. Don't sleep on their fullback, Rod Smith. Rod Smith has done well with his limited time out on the field. And a side note, and I don't even know that it's fair to call it a side note. It might be better to call it a side show. We were talking about the potential lawsuit that Jerry Jones is threatening to file against the NFL. Did you read the story? Like, did you follow up on it and see that? Arthur Jones is the head of a committee that they, you know, when Jerry Jones threatened a lawsuit, they basically removed Jerry Jones from that committee. Arthur Blank removed Jerry Jones from that committee. You know who the Cowboys are playing this weekend? They're playing the Falcons. Come on, man. How good is that? We got billionaire on billionaire beef. Is Arthur Blank going to be standing there on the Falcons sideline with his arms folded, and Jerry Jones is going to come down, put a headset on, and stand next to Jason Garrett? Is Jerry going to start calling plays there right on the field? That's a little side beef to watch. The Cowboys play the Falcons this week. We got that game for you here, by the way. I should give you the rundown. That would be the responsible thing to do, but because Jason's not here, I can't be held accountable for anything that I'm supposed to do. The Saints and the Bills lead off our coverage, our NFL coverage, on Sunday, that game I was just talking about. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be defensive slugfest. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think. Of course, it could wind up, you know, 40 to 42 or whatever, but these two defenses have been really good, and I'm curious to see if the Bills can get back on track. And, oh, a side note, Bills haven't lost at home yet this year. That was Sean McDermott's big thing, defend our dirt. Well, they have to this point. They got a tough matchup coming in the Saints, but that leads off KHDK's NFL coverage on Sunday, and then we'll go to the Cowboys and the Falcons at 1 o'clock, and then we'll close out with Thursday night football. The Patriots and the Broncos, obviously no Raider game this week on Sports 1140 because the Raiders have a bye. My fifth and final entry here into the Friday Five. If you're into the hoops, obviously you'll be paying attention to the Sacramento Kings tomorrow. They'll be in New York. They'll be at the Garden taking on the New York Knicks. But the Celtics, can the Celtics keep their 10-game streak alive? Can it grow this weekend? It's going to be tough. They got the Hornets tonight, which, okay. They host the Hornets at home. Got a couple games here at home. But on Sunday, they got Toronto. I love the way the Celtics have been playing. If you haven't had a chance to watch them yet, Jason and I discussed earlier in the week, Kyrie is getting everything that he wanted. I know it's tough with Gordon Hayward out, and I don't know if he's had to amplify his role with Gordon Hayward out. I'm not sure what adjustments the team has had to make losing what was expected to be such a valuable part of that team. But Kyrie, along with Giannis Antetokounmpo and James Harden, right now, that's the short list for 12 games into the season, 11 games into the season MVPs. Kyrie's done an incredible job. He's taken games over. He has been the guy. He has been the man, right? That was the phrase that we used so often during the whole he wants out of Cleveland thing. Well, why? He wants to be the guy. Well, what does that mean? He wants to lead a team? He wants to run the offense? Yes, yes. And he wants to be able to take over a game in the fourth quarter. Whether that's something he wanted or not, it's totally inconsequential because it's something we've seen him do a couple of times this year. Think back to that Cleveland game. They were down big. They lost Gordon Hayward in the first 5 minutes. They made a strong run there in the second half. Kyrie put that team on his back, got him there in a position to where, textbook written, Kyrie's taking a three-pointer over LeBron James to try to win the game. So they got the Hornets tonight and the Raptors on Sunday, and I'm wondering if we're coming back on Monday at noon talking about the Celtics having a 12-game win streak. Raiders, as I mentioned, you're on a bye. You're going to want to cheer for the Patriots this week. You're going to want to cheer for the Jaguars. Those are the two teams playing the division rivals. KC is off this week, so nothing's going to come about of that, but cheer for the Patriots, cheer for the Jaguars. That way the Oakland Raiders can get a half game. We'll take a look at the entire schedule, the entire NFL schedule, Week 10 NFL schedule. We'll talk over unders, betting odds, all that good stuff, what to watch for here as we continue with the lowdown. Yeah, you knew I wasn't going to interrupt her. Once you let it go, man, you got to let it roll, man. That's how we roll on these Fridays. Thank you so much for being with us here on the lowdown. Jay Ross off today. I'm Damian Barling. A couple of texts I want to read to you. McAdoo won't get fired during the season. Win or lose, his comments do not bother Eli one bit. Eli knows he's not playing well, but he's not the team's weak spot. Yeah, I don't think his comments, I don't think Ben McAdoo's comments bother Eli either. I just don't think that's the type of player, person Eli is. I don't think it bothers him. I wonder if it bothers the owner. You know, I wonder if it bothers Jerry Reese. I mean, by the way, they're both getting fired, right? Reese got to go too, doesn't he? I mean, he's correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not the authority on New York Giants football, but this is going to be like the seventh time they've missed the playoffs. Or is it five out of the last seven seasons they've missed the playoffs? But the two times that they've gone, they've won the Super Bowl. Is that enough to get a pass? Like, okay, when we're good, we're really good. But man, when we suck, we're 1-7 suck. I don't think Ben McAdoo is going to get fired because of his remarks about Eli and him calling Eli out and kind of throwing him under the bus a little bit. But I think it's going to play a factor in ultimately what will be his termination. You go back and watch that game last week. His team quit on him. And now you got players anonymously calling him out. Now, I'm not for that. Like, I don't really dig that approach. I feel like if Ben McAdoo is going to call you out or call a player out, whether it's Eli or it's somebody else, well, okay, call your coach out, but put your name on it. I hate the I'm not really for the anonymous sources. I understand why they do it, but I don't think that's a good look. It doesn't make anybody look good. It makes the organization look weak. It makes your team look weak. It makes your team look whack. Like all this infighting. Like, come on, man. Do better. You think your coach sucks? Cool. Put your name on it. Hell, it carries a lot more weight when you put your name on it. One more college football game that I forgot to mention, as we noted, there's some pretty big ones this week. TCU and Oklahoma. I think that gets rid of TCU. I think Oklahoma's offense, you know, their defense has been pretty sketchy over the course of the whole season. But I think their offense is just going to be too much for TCU. Another one that I'm really interested in is Wisconsin. Wisconsin's kind of been the talk, right? They're sitting at 8. They're undefeated. They're in the Big Ten. The Big Ten was a respected conference until Ohio State lost a couple of times. Penn State lost. Michigan lost a couple of times. And suddenly you're looking at it like, oh, all right, I don't really know how I feel about the Big Ten anymore. But Wisconsin's leading the way. They're 9-0. They got Iowa this week. I don't know if Wisconsin's going to get out of this. But again, I've been down on Wisconsin. I don't think their schedule is good. I don't think their team is good. And I think at some point, whether it's tomorrow or it is in the Big Ten championship, I don't think they're going to make it through. And that's ultimately going to shut the Big Ten out. I don't even – and I know the hot conversation is, well, what if Wisconsin goes undefeated? Are they going to get into the top four? They'd be last on my list right now. Now, as I've said to Jason a million times, these things always work themselves out. It's just the way college football is. Even when we head into the final week and we have this scenario, okay, this team is going to beat this team and this team is going to beat this team, it never, ever, ever works out that way. It's always a big cluster mess. Teams lose. Remember a wild scenario had to take place for Ohio State to get into that championship game against LSU many years back when it was still BCS. And it all happened. LSU got in there. Ohio State got in there. Crazy stuff happens, man. I expect that to continue to be the trend. With the NFL, I want to look ahead at a couple of games here. Packers, Bears, anyone excited about that? I'm always curious what Mitchell Trubisky is going to do. You know, let me rephrase that. I'm always curious what the new quarterback for teams are going to do. Brent Hundley, Mitchell Trubisky, this game doesn't have the luster that a Bears, Packers, that an NFC North game should. But it's football, and it's the Packers, it's the Bears, it's Soldier Field. I think one of these quarterbacks might have a breakout game. I'd like to see one of these quarterbacks have a breakout game. The Browns are in Detroit. Man, there's nothing to add to that. I don't know what you're going to do with Cleveland. Cleveland continue. I didn't think there was any way Cleveland was going to go winless. Going winless is hard. I think going winless has happened as many times as going undefeated, at least through the regular season, has happened, or at least close. I think Tampa Bay might have done it twice. I know Detroit did it. Detroit's the only 0-16 team. I think Tampa Bay was 0-14. I don't think Cleveland's going to win now. Like I've thought they're going to fall into a win. That's just the way it is. They're going to fall into one. They're not falling into a win. And Matt Stafford and that Detroit offense, but eat them up a little bit. Detroit's at 4-4. I don't know what to think of them. I know, you know, J. Ross in particular, not really high on that NFC North division. But if Detroit's going to make their move, you know, with Minnesota sitting up there at 6-2, they got to make it now. Pittsburgh, big favorites in Indianapolis, understandably so. Jacoby Brissett, he's been actually getting a little bit better, but that's just not enough for them to win games. Pittsburgh continues to roll there, are by far, far and away the class of that division. The Chargers and the Jaguars, interesting game here for a number of reasons. The Chargers' defense is terrible. The Jaguars' defense is spectacular. The Jaguars' offense isn't particularly good. The one thing to note here is the Chargers have the 32nd ranked run defense. The Jaguars have Leonard Fournette. I'll take that matchup all day. Leonard Fournette against the worst rushing defense in the entire league. And Raider fans, you're rooting for the Jaguars, right? You need the Chargers to lose. You need all these AFC West teams to lose as many times as possible. The Bucs and the Jets, who thought coming into the season that the Jets would be the favorite in this game? The Bucs are a disaster, and nobody has offered a realistic reason why. It's like just because. Jameis has had games where he's played pretty well. In fact, Jameis has had games where he's played great. His best game this year, they lost. There is no sign of that team getting better. None. They should. Jets at four. Can you 10 games into the season, the Jets could be 500. A team that we thought was going to be in the conversation with the Cleveland Browns. I didn't think the 49ers were going to be 0-9. I really didn't. I thought the 49ers could get to 5 or 6 wins this year. Looking back on it, I don't know why I thought that. The Jets, nobody had the Jets at 500. Heading into potentially week 11. But this game is in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's got to do something to salvage some self-respect here because the playoffs are out of the question for them. They've got to just get something to establish something for themselves. Bengals at the Titans. Man, when you look at the NFL schedule on a week-to-week basis, nothing – they're like I feel like for the last 3 weeks, there hasn't been a single sexy matchup. One where you really look at like, oh, okay, this is going to be fun. Like, nah. The Bengals, I mean, Marcus Mariota hasn't been playing really well. DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry have. But, you know, Titans are 5-3, but they're not fun to watch. And again, a trashy division. I like the Titans in that game just because I've been burned by the Bengals too many times. The 6-2 Vikings, they're in Washington. They're in D.C. this week, and I don't know what to think of Washington anymore because they're sitting at 4-4. They're coming off a couple of losses, but they beat the Raiders in what looked like a really impressive win for Washington, and now looking back on it, maybe it wasn't so impressive. I thought for a while that Washington would be fine. Like, not great, but they'd be good. And I guess to a certain, you win this game, they're 5-4. That's still good. It's just the Eagles have been great, and they're in that division. And the Giants can be completely ignored when it comes to the NFC. I feel like we can just write up the NFC East for Philadelphia. I mean, with where we're at with Washington right now, and with what the Dallas Cowboys are going to go through without Ezekiel Elliott, I think just write it up for Philly. And I don't think Philadelphia is even remotely close to slipping. They're going to continue to run. I've said this for a few weeks now. I think they're going to be better. I said to Jason earlier this week, 14-2 wouldn't shock me. If they had a second half exactly like the first half, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know where Washington's going to fall into this. Are there going to be two teams out of the NFC East? Is it going to be Washington? Is it going to be the Cowboys? Or is it going to be Philadelphia by themselves? And are the two teams going to come out of the NFC West? It's a couple of more games I want to touch on We'll do that, plus our favorite athlete of the week next. Wrapping things up here on this Friday. Thank you so much for keeping me company while Jay Ross is gone. He'll be back on Monday. Thank you for the calls, the text, the tweets, all of that fun stuff, man. It's greatly appreciated. As we've noted many, many times, the show is nothing without you. Today we are observing Veterans Day. I want to say a special thank you to all of the people who serve the military, whether you're listening to this in the Northern California area or you're listening anywhere around the world on the radio.com app. We, and I speak for Chris, I speak for Jason, and I think I can comfortably speak for KCDK that we are all very grateful for what you do. You are all far braver than I ever was, or for that matter, ever will be. So with that, thank you, and I hope everyone takes an opportunity to remember that tomorrow is Veterans Day. And if you run into somebody in uniform or you know service members, that you take an opportunity to thank them. So with all that seriousness stuff, let's have some fun here. Your boy, and this is your boy, and I'm talking to all of you. Charles Barkley, the guy who predicted that the Sacramento Kings would make the playoffs, he had a rough night. You know, TNT, they're out in Atlanta. It gets late. The Oklahoma City-Denver game's wrapping up. They're trying to run highlights, and Chuck, he just, well, he had a rough stretch here. Yo, man, how funny is that? And you know what's even funnier about it? Is I can relate, because we'll be in the middle of a conversation and I'll forget exactly what Jason said that I wanted a counterpoint or I didn't write it down in front of me and I'm trying to like find it. And there are rare occasions where I just have to look at Jason and go, Jay, I forgot, man.
That literally happened to me around 12 o'clock and I was saying like, hey, that kind of, it's gone. I didn't, because like sometimes you try and catch yourself and you're like, no, because if you're thinking about and you try and
you're
like,
trying to bring it back in your head so bad and it's just not there.
I've learned if you just say it's gone, it's easier than just looking like an idiot for 10 seconds talking about nothing.
I feel like too, it's people like, we're very honest with you. Like we've never tried to BS and be like radio like nerds. Like we're just very honest. When we screw up, we acknowledge we screw up. And I think it's significantly more entertaining when people just acknowledge, dude, sorry, Jason, sorry, Chris, I forgot where the hell I was going. I know you said something and it was about Russell Wilson, but like someone texts about Russell Westbrook and now I want to talk about the Thunder. And then there's a call on hold about the King. I forgot what we were doing. But listening to Chuck struggle so hard to find just to get back to where he was going. And then he brings up football games. And Charles has a hard enough time with the English language when he knows what he's talking about.
Actually, what I think
I just love that. I love the moment of just giving, man, I forgot.
What actually I think happened is, and this is just, I'm not like saying this is definitely what happened. What I'm thinking is what happened was, he's got money on the game and is realizing he can't say that he's got money on the game. I forgot.
Well, I love how Ernie recognizes all this. There was a clip earlier where, you know, you could tell when Charles is not paying attention to a single thing that's going on the set. And I think this one made the social media rounds because he was clowning Lonzo Ball. And he's like, oh, watch out, Chuck. Oh, watch out, Chuck. And he's moving. Oh, and he's like dodging imaginary things. And Ernie's finally like, man, what are you doing? Lonzo Ball is shooting. I'm trying to get out of the way of all these bricks. And Ernie's like, dude, you're watching another game. And he just moves along. That's why Ernie is such a pro, to be able to manage all of those knuckleheads. That might be – that's one of – Draymond peaking? That was a good soundbite this week. But I feel like there was a tinge of sarcasm to that also because of the Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry comparisons and Russ and his triple-doubles. And God bless the reporter. He's really trying to sell it. Look at the advanced numbers, Dre. This was a good week for soundbites. I'm not sure which one of those is my favorite. It's close. I think it's Charles Barkley's resignation that he completely forgot what's going on. We try to give out our favorite athletes of the week. And, you know, last week I went with Deshaun Watson. And I thought, man, should I go with Richard Sherman? Richard Sherman is legit one of my favorite athletes. Or I don't want to make it a trend of where I'm giving it to, you know, a guy who just gets injured that week. So I'm going to go in an entirely different direction, one that would probably surprise you. That's Brian Boyle right there. The New Jersey Devils scored a goal in the first period of last night's game against the Oilers, and it ended a 29-game scoreless streak. But most importantly, it was his first goal since being diagnosed with leukemia back in September. Obviously, that was his first goal of the season. He returned to the lineup on November 1st. So that was kind of one of those awesome sports moments. So Brian Boyle, I don't know how many times I'll ever go a hockey player as my favorite athlete of the week. But Brian absolutely deserves that. He deserves that honor because it's a big honor to be my favorite athlete of the week, man. Let's be honest. Let's touch on these last few NFL games before we get out of here. And by the way, I don't normally do this, but I'm strongly encouraging everybody to stick around because Doug Christie is going solo for a while. I don't know when your boy is going to be in New York or when he's going to get to a studio. So Doug is going to hold down the fort all by himself until that time happens.
Should have waited to give your favorite athlete of the week. It might be Doug after this.
Doug is my favorite athlete every day. He is my hero. It would be cool, man, if he like thought he'd bring me in like a little healthy treat from his vitality spot that's way out by his house and nowhere near me. It'd be cool if he did that once. That'd be cool. But nah, Doug is my favorite athlete all the time. The Texans and the Rams this week, man, that game would have a whole lot of appeal if Deshaun Watson was still playing, but he's not. You know, I love the Los Angeles Rams. I love Jared Goff, Todd Gurley. I love everything that Sean McVay is doing with that group. I expect them to get the win over the Texans, which would put the Titans in firm control of that division as well. We mentioned the Cowboys and the Falcons earlier. The Cowboys defense has been playing good. The Cowboys defense has been playing we've been so focused on Ezekiel Elliott. We've been focused on lawsuits and courtroom appearances and suspensions and unsuspensions and resuspensions. And when is this hearing going to be? And are they going to the Supreme Court? We haven't paid attention to what Rob Marinelli is doing this year. DeMarcus Lawrence, I know I've highlighted a number of times because he's had some pretty eye-popping stats. He slowed down a little bit over the course of the last few weeks, but 10 weeks into the season here, he's at 10.5 sacks. That's still a pretty damn good look for him, and that's a pretty damn good look for a defense that hasn't had a strong pass pressure, man, since, wow, the second to last year of DeMarcus Ware's career in Dallas. I keep thinking Atlanta's going to snap out of it, but they're not. This game is in the Georgia Dome. I don't think that really factors. I think both teams travel. I think there'll be plenty of Cowboys contingency there. I'm going to go Cowboys over the Falcons this week, and I think they're going to do it on the shoulders of Rain Dakota Prescott. I already told you, I got the 49ers beating the Giants. Ben McAdoo's getting fired. I know what sources told Josina Anderson this week. I'm not buying it. Giants lose this week. Ben McAdoo gets fired. Patriots are going to beat up the Broncos, I think. I don't care how much they're selling it. The one place Brady has had a tough time playing. Get out of here. That Broncos team isn't good enough. That offense isn't good enough. Patriots will win that game again. Happy Veterans Day to all of the military men and women out there. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you to the best producer in the game, Chris Verlade. Jason and I will see you Monday at noon.
This is Chris Verlade with your top stories on Sports 1140. The Sacramento Kings won their second game in a row last night, 109-108 over the 76ers. Kings are back on the road and will be in New York tomorrow to face the Knicks. You can listen to tomorrow's game right here on Sports 1140. Tight end Martellus Bennett, who was just claimed off of waivers by the New England Patriots, has been playing with a torn rotator cuff and torn labrum this season with the Packers, but he did pass a physical with the Patriots and did practice today. And tonight we have college football with the Stanford Cardinal hosting the Washington Huskies. You can listen to tonight's game with pregame at 7 and kickoff scheduled for 7:30 right here on Sports 1140.